Welcome to another episode of the Concurrency Podcast. In this episode, I'll be the only host. And today I'll be hosting the DroidCon KE team. And yeah, hopefully we have a great conversation around community and the upcoming DroidCon KE event. So in the room we have Evans Chepsiror. Woo! Woohoo. Welcome, Evans.
Thanks, Steve. My name is Evans Chepsiror. I'm an Android developer. I consult for a company called Turing, and I'm partner with a client called Plume Designs, based in San Francisco. Other than that, I've done code for Kiosk Digital Services, and I am the current development lead at DroidCon KE 2022.
Yay!
Nice. Fantastic. And we're also fortunate enough to have not the first lady, but the first ladies on the pod. And so, yeah, we have Jackie Gitao in the room. Woo-woo! Welcome, Jackie.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Jackie Gitao. I work with Annie, as in we are co-host for Android 254. And I'm also the marketing lead for DroidCon KE this year. Yeah, can't wait. I mean, I'm excited to be on this board. Yay.
Nice. And last but not least, we have Annie Kobia. Welcome, Annie.
Hi, Steve. Thank you. Thanks for having us. So, yeah, my name is Annie Kobia. I'm an Android developer at a company called Kiosk and also a co-organizer for Android 254 together with Jackie, as she mentioned. I'm also part of the team for DroidCon. I'm in the Android development team and also part in the marketing team. But yes,
And he's just playing it cool and being subtle, but he's the big boss.
Nice. So what Annie won't say is, so I did a bit of digging. I mean that is what makes a good host. And so everyone else is clean. There's nothing to track about you, but then Annie, there's just so much. So I found this article where Annie was featured, and she said, so she was talking about her experience in uni, and then she said, we covered a C++ introduction to programming, and since I really enjoyed it, I did my research on a suitable degree to pursue so I could do a lot more in programming. So Annie got into programming because she liked C++. That has to be the most insane thing I've ever heard. No one says they liked C++ enough for them to study programming.
I didn't say I liked C++. I said I liked the programming concepts, but the language used was C++. So don't misquote me.
Yeah, I guess she's muted it so that she avoids being called a nerd. In the history of programming, no one ever gets into C++ because they like it. It's just because you have to fulfill your degree.
No, and it's part of the course. So you have to do it.
If Jack was here, he'd be so proud because he's a very C++, very hardcore C++ guy. So anyway, but then today we are not here to talk about C++, neither are we here to talk about technical things. I mean, that is the only reason Jackie and Annie agreed to come, just because they didn't want to be asked technical questions.
No, you can't do that. This is gender discrimination.
Invite us for another one. And
I have receipts.
You need to invite us to another pod.
I have receipts of Annie. Annie just telling me, please do not ask us hard questions. Please do not. Anyway, I am usually the fun one in the pod. So I'm not the one who asks the hard questions. I'm usually the fun one. So,
this opportunity was like, do not ask, if Steve asks you about technical, avoid those things. So, like, I totally agree with you. And the funny thing is, they are very technically capable, and they are one of the best devs I know. And the fact that they are just shying away from talking about the technical stuff is quite funny, to be honest.
Yeah. I remember yesterday in the group chat, I mentioned Annie has technophobia. the fear of technical questions, and she was swearing, and she was swearing that please do not call me that, please do not call me that.
Anyway. I am a witness.
Wow, wow, guys. Okay.
Yeah. So we can go on and make this episode about the roast of Annie, but then we are not going to do that. So today we'll be talking about community and the role that you people have played in the community and how the community has also impacted you. So I guess just from personal experiences, I'd like to know you to speak a little bit about your personal experiences with community. Jackie.
Oh, wow. My first experience with community was back in 2019. I love Android, so I wanted to join an Android related community. So I went on Meetup just to check on the kind of events they have for Android developers, and then I bumped into Android 254 community, which was hosted at iHub. So I decided to come and just see what they do and learn from them, and that's when my journey into Android 254 started. Then I approached Tambre because he had mentioned that he'd love to have volunteers helping organizing the events. So I decided to volunteer to be a co-hosting, a co-organizer at Android 254, and that's and here I am now.
Nice. So Annie, so for you, what could you say the community has done for you and the impact it has had on your personal life?
Okay, for me, I'd say like I've benefited through learning and also jobs, because my first ever Android development jobs was from the community group, the Android 254 group in the Telegram channel. So it was posted there, and then I applied. That was my first ever Android internship. And all other jobs that I've been in were from a member of the community. So the second job that I went to was someone I had met at an Android 254 meetup. Then I was randomly talking to them about, I'm looking for a place to change jobs to work in a bigger team. That's how I got into the second role. The other role was also people in the community. So first of all, I've benefited from like getting jobs. Number two, growing technically. Because when I joined Android 254 actively was when I had just was my last year in school, and my Android knowledge wasn't that good, but getting into communities, attending sessions, knowing other people who can give me feedback on my code has allowed me like to grow also technically in terms of how I write code now. So yeah.
Nice. So when we even talk about community and how community helps, there's also the personal drive that I am assuming someone should have in order for them to integrate themselves into the community. So I don't know, what's your take on that, Chaps?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of energy, especially considering that Saturdays are usually the days where the community eventually meets. So just waking up on Saturday, especially when, of course, you have things to do, be it a student or you work over the weekdays, it takes quite a lot of energy, to be honest, and dedication. And so, but the thing is, ever since I got involved in the community and pushed myself to attend this weekend meetings that happen once every month, I've never regretted. Like, I've met a lot of key networks, I've met a lot of very important opportunities, and so. Yes, the sacrifice is there, but with the risk comes the reward.
Nice. So I know Chaps, you are very big. Is big shot the right word? When it comes to the Android community, you are a big shot.
Big wig.
I mean, I've ever been in a conversation where Chaps, Juma, Alan, and Haron were having a conversation on things they've done and places they've interviewed and how they've done the interviews. And I mean, that has to be the most awesome dynamic of people I've ever listened to in terms of just the intensity of the things they were talking about. So I'm also curious. So for you, what did that take for you? Because I mean, it is also not just attending the event and just sitting at the back seat. So what has that, what did it take for you?
I wouldn't say I'm a big shot. I'm just trying in the streets, to be honest. but I guess it takes, again, it takes a lot of dedication, and with the technology, things keep changing every now and then. And being an Android engineer, you have to grasp so many other challenges, and like you have to grab so many other frameworks and libraries and how to do this, how to do this. Google comes up with ways to do things every now and then. But I think one of the things that really helped me is grouping myself again with people who are way above my league, the likes of Kina Frank, there's Anne here, there's Harun, Juma, Michael. Like, there's a lot of guys out there who have been on my journey who have been very key, and I've learned quite a lot of them, quite a lot of things from them. And like, again, that's how I'd say I upskilled from being an entry-level engineer to being a junior-level engineer that I am now. And like, again, looking back, I don't regret at pushing myself and making these valuable connections and getting the so-called mentors or guides to my career.
Nice. So when I had a conversation with the guys on having a chat with you, we had a bit of conversation on how exactly the Android 254 community is structured and what you as a team do per se. So I'd like just a highlight on the Android 254, just a highlight on how you do things and how you operate, and the structure of your events and how you organize your talks. Jackie.
Okay, so we normally have we normally host Android 254 meetup every third Saturday of the month at iHub. What we do is we normally send out a Google form so that guys who are interested in giving a talk on a specific topic in Android, they fill it in, and then from that we select three speakers to give a talk on those Saturdays. Yeah, so that's mostly what we do. Yeah, so yeah, that Saturday of the month, then filling out the form, and then we approach the speakers who've already filled in the form. Yeah, when they confirm that they are available, we schedule them in our meetup. Then yeah, we send out we schedule the meetup on meetup.com. Yeah, and then guys RSVP, then they attend. That's what
nice.
We do.
Nice. Yeah. So, just giving a personal experience, we at the Concurrency Podcast, we do struggle a lot with maintaining schedules and even maintaining the stream of how we release episodes. And so, I mean, it is just a testament to what goes on behind the scenes that most people will mainly not see. And so I'm just curious about the chaos that is behind the scenes. Just show us your kitchen so that we appreciate the food. So Annie, show us the kitchen.
For Android 254 specifically, or what are we talking about? Android 254 generally?
Yes, Android 254.
Yeah, so for example, for Android 254, as Jackie mentioned, it's a monthly meetup that happens every third Saturday of the month. So for that to happen, first of all, you have to have speakers for the sessions. At least mostly usually have three. So number one is, first of all, finding the speakers. There's a form that's put out, and then people who want to speak at the events can sign up. So there's also the bit for the team to go through whatever has been submitted and also actually find sessions that are relevant and helpful for community members who are attending the sessions. So that's number one. The other bit is making sure you actually have the venue for the physical events in place, such that because we mostly usually have them as physical events. So making sure you book the venue and it's there. Normally, we usually hosted by IHUB. So that's the second thing. And the other bit is just hosting the event and making sure it goes well end to end. The speakers have actually confirmed and will be available for the events, and if not, who can replace them from the list of speakers who are there. Besides that, there's the partnership or looking for partnership that can be helpful for community members. For example, an example of a partner that's currently there is a company called Tunga and Propel that help like software developers look for remote roles. So that's also on our end, finding such partnerships and yeah, that the community can benefit from.
Nice. So I understand Cheps is an active member of the community, and not only is he an active member, he's also an active speaker. So do you have any particular talk that you gave and you are like, yeah, this is peak performance?
Well, interesting. I think this towards the end of the year, I've taken a break from actively speaking, mainly because I've been, of course, being part of the organizing team, I didn't want to have any bias towards myself and things like that. But also, it's a time for me to learn. And so I just decided to sit back and like listen and learn and be on the organizing side of things. But I think one of the key talks, so recently I attended the DevFest Nairobi and I met Georgia. So backstory is met Georgia back in Dar es Salaam, I think at 2019, and I gave a talk about being a lazy Android developer. And the first thing she mentioned was, hi Evans, lazy Android developer, and it was funny. So it's funny how such a talk way back, like I think it's now 3 years, can still be remembered. Other than that, I think for the highlight of this year has been the KMM session, Kotlin multi-platform mobile sessions that we organized. I'm proud of that because KMM is an emerging technology and rapidly growing. I think it's now in beta, if I'm not wrong. And so just organizing that and seeing guys from the community learning and challenging themselves to build interesting products and projects is very inviting for me.
Nice. So I like that you mentioned KMMs because I have a tab open that is one of your projects. So it is a Rick and Morty project, and ideally you built it using KMMs. And so I'm just curious, could you just give a highlight on what KMMs are and what exactly KMMs mean to the development of the Android ecosystem?
Yeah, so KMM in full is Kotlin multi-platform mobile, and the Rick and Morty app. So KMM basically is a solution for Android, for mobile engineers to share logic. So for example, while developing your client-side mobile applications, you'd want to, for example, make a network call, persist the information in a local database and things like this. So KMM provides a way to write this logic once and then consume it in different clients. So at the moment, I think you can consume it in JavaScript, you can also consume it in Android, of course, and you can consume it in iOS. So ideally, now that saves you, if you have a startup, you hire less of the client side engineers and hire more of the multi-platform engineers, so you save on costs and things like that. So instead of doing the network calls in iOS, JavaScript, Android, you have one team doing that. We do the same at Plume Designs, and like it's a very interesting technology. So Rick and Morty was just a project to help the community and anyone who needs like a playground and to see KMM in action for anyone who hasn't seen it in action. So I decided, why not? Let's build something that can be used as a point of reference. Although I haven't updated it in a while, mambo ni mingi and things sometimes just rush through, and you find yourself like 4 or 5 months without updating this personal project and so silly life.
Nice. So I didn't know KMM can run on the web. Applications built on KMM can run on the web.
At the moment, the developers at JetBrains are really on overdrive. So the beauty is you just write your code. So how it works is you write your code in Kotlin, and then it's compiled to your target language. So it can be compiled to JavaScript and consumed on the front end. It can be compiled to I think Swift and then consumed on iOS. So it's the same thing. Like you can compile it to the target and then consume it there. So you can use it, of course, on web as well.
Okay. So generally, on a general overview, I'm assuming these are some of the conversations that we expect at DroidCon. So DroidCon is this event that is ideally happening on the 16th to the 18th of November. And yeah, I'm assuming these are some of the talks and the conversations that we should expect on DroidCon. Could you comment on that?
Yeah, I had the privilege to be on the speaker selection, the session selection committee, and like going through the abstracts and the speakers, like what the speakers submitted as their talks were very interesting. We have so many talks coming on Kotlin multi-platform mobile. We have some on CI/CD. We have some on Android specific and Google libraries that are coming out. We have some on testing and some on the like developer productivity and self-help. Like, so it's a very diverse sessions range that will cover everything from like that has room for the beginner sessions to very experienced developer sessions where everyone can learn. So myself, I'm looking forward to learning from all the sessions. I hope guys are as well.
Nice. So I know Annie, you have a session. I'm not sure what it is about, but I know you have a session where you're co-speaking with someone else. So could you plug your session?
So my session is on building for larger screens with Valentine Ruto, and it's so lately Google has been putting a lot of support and emphasis on larger screens, which is basically how you can be able to build your apps with the user experience on larger devices in mind. For example, instead of just like the phone in portrait, you can do a good experience in landscape, or also for someone who's using a tablet, or the different types of orientations on, let's say, a foldable. So that's what basically the talk is about, how you can handle your code to look good in all these screens in terms of when you're building your mobile application now.
Nice. That's fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So generally speaking on the event, Jackie, could you highlight what people should expect in terms of not just the speaker lineup, but also the events and the extracurricular that should be expected on the event? And maybe you can even speak about the food a little bit.
Food. Let me talk about food. Okay, I will not talk much about food, but we expect to have a community session, a community day on the first day, where we'll have a couple of panel sessions from GDEs and Android experts, because we'll also have some speakers who will be coming in from other countries. So they will be sharing maybe their experiences in communities. The GDEs will be sharing how, say, you can move from being an Android learner to a Google developer expert. Yeah, What else do we expect from DroidCon? Yeah, expect to network. There'll be people who'll be looking to hire. So if you don't have a job, you can come and network. And you never know when your next job will be or who'll be hiring you. Yeah, that's mostly what you'd expect. So Annie can share more on that.
Yeah, just to add on what Jackie has already said, I think for me the most exciting thing is because it's a 3-day event, now we have Community Day, and for Community Day, you just get a chance to have the communities we have around, network, have sessions like panel sessions where you can discuss different things, even beyond like the technical sessions that you have for Android, Flutter, and Kotlin. So you can have panel sessions that talk about different things like open source, etc. So I can't give out too much detail. But yeah, for me, I feel like the most exciting thing is the Community Day that's happening on the first day.
So you've mentioned Flutter, and I think this is interesting because I had seen a conversation around you having denied someone a session for React Native. So I am curious, Cheps, because you are on the committee, how does Flutter fit in, and how does, and to what extent does React Native fit in?
Putting me on the spot here. So I think what some of the considerations we had for the sessions were not necessarily because of the, so how do I put this? But like, we had so many considerations before we accepted the sessions. So one of the things were is the session of course unique. And then the other ones were how well detailed were the abstracts, and then were the sessions, like, was the session interesting? So, for example, I'd give an example of this guy who submitted a session on how to use Rust to develop Android applications, something like that. And the abstract was well detailed, and the key takeaways for the guys attending the key takeaways for the guys attending the session were well documented and things like that. So we accepted sessions on very many different merits, and so it's not that we declined the React Native because it's React Native. It could be because of many other reasons. And then we also support, like, we encourage the React Native community. I'd speak about how we have this open source application, and we like give them the tools to do a React Native version of the DroidCon KE 2022 application. So like, it's not that we denied the session because it's React Native, but it's because of many other metrics that we are checking against.
Okay, nice. So I know that the Rust session is by Njuguna Mureithi. I mean, for me, I think that is the session I'm most looking forward to. Okay, sorry, Annie. Yeah, yours. Sorry. And yeah, so that is one of the sessions I'm looking forward to. And I'm also hoping we have Njuguna Mureithi on the pod soon. So yeah. So the event is starting on the 16th to the 18th. And you did something which I'm not sure, I wasn't very keen on what you did for DroidCon 2019 and the years before, but then just looking at the way events have been done generally in Kenya and Nairobi, it is sponsors, you get having to get sponsors who generally fund the event, or at least the attendees fund the event to some extent. So what decision went into sort of the ticket prices and yeah, just Jackie, if you could speak about that.
Okay, we looked at different factors because we don't have so many sponsors at the time, and we'd want to have like an international level kind of DroidCon event, because there are different DroidCon events around the, like, worldwide. because DroidCon Kenya actually originated from DroidCon Berlin, which was started years ago by someone called Greg Forson. And there are also different chapters like DroidCon London, DroidCon Italy and New York. And we'd want to achieve that kind of standard that they've already set up for us. So that so to cater for, say, the merchandise that the swags that we'll be giving people, to cater for food, to cater for the place we'll be hosting the event, we had to look at such factors so that we can come up with the ticket pricing, and then for people to buy, and then and also we want you guys to have a good experience. So you see, when you pay less, that means we won't manage to achieve, like, we won't achieve to create a good event for you, but you have to pay that extra, say, luxury tax for you to have a good, for us to have, to be capable to organize a good event for you.
Okay.
Yeah. And just to, like, just as a point to note, I think in all the road cons globally, I think the Nairobi one is the cheapest. For example, if you look at DroidCon London, it happened like two weeks ago, and the tickets go for, if you check the, like, the early bird tickets for the next one, I think were for like 410 Great Britain pounds, and the student tickets were like 240 GBP. So us doing the student tickets at like $23 a student, and is it $40? Around $40 like the regular pass is quite, I'd say it's quite affordable, considering the value that comes with the with the event.
Okay, nice. Makes sense. So just looking out for our listeners here, do you have any free tickets to give away to our listeners, to the listeners of the Concurrency Podcast? Do you have free tickets to give away?
Well, I'm feeling philanthropic, so I'll give out 5 tickets on Twitter in the next few hours. So look out for that.
Okay. So wait, how do we do this? Do you wait for us to release the pod, then you give out the tickets, or are you going to give out after this recording?
Yeah, since you're the host, you decide.
Yeah, Jackie.
Yeah. So student tickets are, what do you call it? They're sold out. We don't have any more student tickets. So the only tickets we have are the regular tickets, which go for 4,000 shillings. And then we have also corporate tickets. Yeah. One moment. Group tickets. I'm checking out the pricing. We have group tickets and corporate tickets. So check out our DroidCon KE website to see the tickets that we have at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was also interesting to see you don't have day pass tickets for a day. So your tickets are giving access to the entire 3 days.
Correct.
So Chaps is going to give away 5 tickets. I am not sure the criteria we are going to use, but then we are going to put out a tweet, and ideally we are going to put out the pod in the next, maybe tomorrow evening. Tomorrow is the 10th or the 11th in the morning, and then we are going to give out tickets. Thank you very much, Chaps. And I think that's it. That's it for us. In case anyone has anything else to add on the event, so I'm just going to let you guys give us talk to the people directly. Give us a parting shot and talk to the people directly, and then we are going to do something fun, a little bit fun at the end.
Who are we starting with?
You, Chipsy.
Okay. Parting shots. I think, again, the DroidCon is one very, especially if you are an Android engineer, or you're looking to get into Android engineering, or you're looking to hire, or you're looking to get hired, AndroidCon is one very good avenue for that. So come build incredible networks, come meet incredible people, come listen to incredible sessions, come ready to learn and ready to mingle and interact with fellow engineers who are interested in this lovely ecosystem. Come ready to, I saw something very interesting that people are going to DevFest, DevFest to meet, to like as a dev idea or to meet a tech spouse. So this is yet another opportunity to do that if you missed out on DevFest. So again, come one, come all.
I feel attacked on the spouse thing with DevFest. I think I'm the one who put out the tweet that a developer's love languages. I want to attend DevFest with you, and so yeah, maybe DroidCon, the marketing team, Jackie, the marketing team. You need to put out that there are a lot of prospects in the event. So yeah.
Yes, there are many.
So I'm going to give Jackie the last word. So Annie, you can go first. Just a parting shot and yeah, just speak to the people.
So I think Chipsy has talked about the kind of value you get to get from the event, like networking, getting to learn from the sessions, meeting new people, and also getting a spouse. As Chopsy said, because yeah, I hadn't heard of that, but that's new, and that's a good option or value addition. But yeah, make sure to buy the tickets. You can take a group of friends and come and get the group ticket. That's like 5 people, which is less than the one that's one. So definitely, like, get a ticket and yeah.
Nice, Jackie.
All I can say is, just because DroidCon is not a free event for developers, please don't shy away from buying a ticket. Look at it as an investment for yourself, because you'll come to build meaningful connections. And also, if you're learning Android development or you're really into your developer journey, come and connect with other people who are also learning and who are experts in the industry. Don't die alone trying to understand the concepts. Also come get to meet new people, people you can also maybe work on projects together, because when you work with other people, you get to learn more. Yeah, and also get to learn new features, get to learn also come and get merch, because we'll have merchandise from some companies. I won't mention names. Yeah, so come and also come and have fun. Yeah, don't die alone in your house or expect magic to happen. Yeah, come and learn with other people. That's all I can say. Yeah, look at the ticket as an investment, not that you're trying to rip you off. Yeah, it's an investment for yourself and you won't regret it. Yeah, you'll have fun. You will. You definitely will.
Yeah. The Jackie, the marketing manager, is trying not to give out a lot of spoilers. So yeah, please make sure you attend DroidCon, and yeah, hopefully you get to see everyone. So in this last session, we are going to do something interesting, something we've not done on the pod before. And just because I'm the one who is here, we are going to try it. So just to end things, we are going to have picks. So this ideally are current interests. So you just mentioned something that you've been into, something legal that you're into, and that, you know, a book, a movie, or something.
Again, putting me on the spot. Something legal I've been into. Let me see. So recently, a friend of mine was doing had a piece, an art exhibit piece. And so I attended it. It was at the Kenya National, Nairobi National Museum, at Museum Hill. It was interesting to watch and to I didn't know that this was a thing, but actually art speaks to you. So I was there for like 3 hours and looking at those different pieces of art, like it was so much information just looking at a still painting, and like it was very fascinating. Sadly, it happens like every quarterly of a year. So, but again, I didn't know that is something. Usually I thought it was something very boring, but once I did it, it was very interesting. So just that, and attending, like visiting the museum, there's a lot of information about the Kenyan culture that is in the National Museum. I know it sounds boring, but once you try it and you get the knack of it, like it's very interesting. So that's something legal that I've been nice. Interested in recently.
Jackie is trying so hard not to laugh, imagining you saying art speaks to you. So yeah, Jackie, your current interest.
Current interest. Well, I recently learned how to swim. A certified lifeguard. Ooh. So yeah,
nice.
I'm a certified lifeguard.
You are so a certified lifeguard.
And also, yeah.
Okay.
Like I can
for someone
a drowning person in a pool. Yeah, that's what I.
For someone who says they recently learned how to swim, well, something is not adding up here.
How are you a lifeguard and you recently learned how to swim?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I started learning how to swim last year in November, and then I joined the course in January. It was a 6 months course. Training, I mean, yeah, so that's how.
Okay,
so yeah, I'm still new. I can say I'm still new. I'm not like a pro, but yeah, I can rescue someone because you are taught all the techniques.
Nice.
And also, I'm into hiking, and I'll be summiting Mount Kenya this weekend. Yeah,
so I'm not sure if I should comment, because I think the swimming thing is very noble. Even considering climate change and everything, I think you're good. You can survive on water and on land. That is good.
Yes. Yeah, water safety is very important. I recommend it.
Yeah.
Learn to swim if you don't know how to. You need to.
Yeah. So, again, thank you very much for coming on. This was really fantastic having all of you here. So yeah, just to finish, I'm going to let you, we are going to add DroidCon KE links in the description below, in the show notes, and I'm also going to tag your Twitter handles in the show notes. But then, just finishing up, could you mention your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is @_chepsi. Same as Instagram and everywhere else online. Please follow. I follow back.
Nice. Jackie, where can people find you?
I'm mostly active on Twitter, so my Twitter handle is @Jackie_Gitao.
Nice. And Annie, except at DroidCon KE 2022, where else can people find you?
Oh, wow. Twitter @Anikobia. And yeah, sorry for the glitches. I've been reconnecting for a million times into the episode. But yes, Twitter @Anikobia.
Yeah, ideally people won't notice. But yeah, people won't notice. But yeah, she's been having a lot of internet connection issues. So yeah. Anyway, that's it. That's it for this one. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. And yeah. Hopefully we get to see you. Okay, we get to listen to you again, and see you at DroidCon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.